Amen. So, yeah, today's sermon is not those good sermons, you know what I'm saying? We have been talking about the blessed life. For the last few weeks, we have been talking about what it means to be blessed, what it means to have a life that God blesses us. And the first week, we went through the scripture and we learned that God is the one who blesses us. And it is God who brings us blessings. And that we owe nothing, that God owes everything, and we ought to be good stewards of what he has given us. Last week, we talked about having a good stewardship of life. What it means to have this blessed life means that we have to do good with what God has given us. Therefore, he gives us more. He blesses us. So the more you invest in your relationships, the more God gives you into relationships. And that was the message last week. Today, I'm talking about the stewardship of your treasure. I am talking about the stewardship of your finances, the stewardship of money. Every time a pastor brings money up, everybody shuts down. So before you go there, let me say some things here for you, okay? Let me take some things here because you know, most of you know my story. I'm a product of the church, but I'm a product of the church, not from necessarily accepting some of the practices of the church, but really for rebelling from the church, right? And one of the things that I grew up with was that that my mom and dad was always good in explaining to my brother and my sister and I, the importance of being very careful with God's treasure, with what God has given us. So, as your pastor, I have a couple of things that I wanted to talk to you about here. Listen, this is what this message is not about. This message is not about making Sam richer, all right? Your giving does not make me richer. I'm not interested in that. If I want to be a rich man, I would probably become something else, all right? What you give does not affect my paycheck. The other thing that it is not about making other people in that leads this church richer. It's not about us. It is about this. Let me tell you a little story, two little stories, and we'll go there. Beginning of 2017, I was in my office, and I got a phone call in the church office. It was a lady calling. She's like, I would like to talk to the pastor, and Jen transferred for me, and I pick it up. She's like, Pastor, I have called every church in town, and nobody wants to help me. Could you help me, please? I was like, what's going on? She's like, last night, I was at home with my kids, my two kids, and my husband beat us. He beat me. He punched me in the eye. He tied me in the room. I broke out. I left. I ran away, and I left. I am in a friend's house, but I have nothing. Can you please help us? And I was like, wow. Yes, we'll help you. I think some of you remember that. She came here. We went and picked her up, and we brought her to the church. And Laura and Amanda Boudou took her out to do some shopping. We helped her. We helped her find. She had a place that she was staying. We helped her get safe. We brought her to church. Tried to bring her to church a couple of times. We prayed for her. We talked to her about what Jesus is. But for a little period of the time, we were there supporting her life. She was able to get a job and to get on with her life a little bit. She moved to Mansfield, I believe it was. Not too long ago, I got a phone call in my office. A wife who had been married for several years and been praying for her husband to accept Jesus. And so their marriage life would change. And they were in the end of it all. They were in the end of their life, their marriage life. And she was praying for God. She's been praying for over 10 years. And she decided to walk through the doors of Delaware Christian Church. She came in with her kid, came to the service, put the kid in the children's kids zone, and she went through the service. She had such an encounter with God through the service. She's telling me that. I'm just telling you the story. She had such an encounter with God through the service. The kid had a blast down there, and she went home, and she told her husband, listen, you got to come to church with me tomorrow, the next Sunday. You have to be there. So he, because of what's going on in the end of their marriage, was becoming the end of their marriage. They're walking through those doors the following Sunday. The guy came, sat into our service, and he was like, told her, now I know what I was missing. I was missing Jesus in my life. And they're in the path of recovering their relationship, their marriage. She called me and she was crying like, Sam, I got a miracle. God gave me a miracle. I've been praying for my husband for all these years. And just last Sunday, he came to Delaware Christian Church the first time in over 13 years. And he wants to accept Jesus and he wants to be involved in the church. So I don't want you to hear, when I'm talking about today, I don't want you to hear numbers. I want you to hear names. I want you to see people. Because your blessings towards the church, translating us and giving me and you the opportunity to talk to people about Jesus and seeing their life being transformed. Listen, I don't know this, but if the Bible is truth, if there is a God, and if that God moves in the life of the church, if God has chosen you and I to be the light of this world and to bring transformation to our community and our society, what happens in this place matters. If you answer that question for me, I believe that Christ, Jesus Christ, died in the cross to give us our opportunity to matter in life. Because without Jesus, our life would have no purpose. And I find rest and assured that God is moved through you, through our congregation, because of these stories. Maybe you yourself have been blessed by Delaware Christian Church. I'm sure if I say, hey, come, let's have a testimony time, I'm sure a lot of you would come up here and say, hey, this is how God has blessed me through this church. So I don't want you, as we go through the message here, I don't want you to hear, oh, money. No, I want you to hear people's life being touched, transformed, and we invested in eternity. For the past couple of weeks, I have talked about biblical teaching that God is our master. And we are responsible to manage his possessions, his affairs. Because we are his servants, all that we have is his. This mindset explodes the popular misconception that we have it all and we give God a percentage of what we get. If that is in our relationship, if that is in life, finances, talents. It kills the idea that I give God some and then the rest is mine. No, it's all God's and we manage it well. As I expressed last week, we have been entrusted with a multifaceted stewardship, but Scripture particularly stresses the need to be good stewards of our resources, our finances resources. While the Bible talks a lot about different topics, let me give you a little statistic. 500 verses, there's 500 verses in prayer on the Bible. There's about 500 verses on faith. But there is 2,300 verses that deal with money and possession. Without apology, our Lord said more about money than he did in many other subjects. The only other subject that God addresses more in the Bible is eternal life, eternity. When it comes to governing our finances and affairs, we must choose between two traditional different mindsets that really battle in our minds. There is a war in our heads that says society and values and biblical values. And as Christian, we ought to understand both and pick one. So society tells us that happiness and peace comes through money. Man, I don't have to go very far to talk to you about how money does not bring peace and happiness. Man, have you ever turned on the news? Have you watched USA, that magazine? Have you read that magazine? Right? We all have. We go to Kroger's, we look on the side, and we say, oh, that's the magazine. That's the one I'm talking about. You pick it up, and you start going through it, and how miserable rich people's life can become, can be. Happiness, peace, does not come through money. We all know that. Biblical teaching tells us that peace and happiness and the desires of our heart comes when we find contentment in God and what He has given us. The Bible tells us this: money is good servant, but a bad master. Can I say that again? The Bible teaches us through all those 23 verses this: that money is a good servant, but a very bad master. If we follow the world's wisdom, money will dominate us. But if we submit to the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, money will serve us. Money will serve us, and we will serve God and others with it. That's what money is for, is to supply our needs and even our wants, to serve us. But most importantly, that we would use it to serve God and to serve others. People often ask me, Sam, why would God talk, why would God spend so much time talking about money? Let me give you three really easy, very fast reasons here. The first reason is that God knew that we would have trouble managing our money, that would spend a great amount of time earning and investing it. It is funny that we mismanage money in so many ways, and we spend so much money talking about it and earning and investing, and still the average debt in America is $30,000 in credit card. Have you heard that? I was just reading that the other day. I was just looking, you know, preaching about money. You got to make some research, and then I was making some research. We have never been in debt like we are right now, and the economy is going good. So God knew that we would have trouble managing. The second reason is that money has a profound effect on relationships. God knew that money would affect our relationship, would be a wedge between you and some other people. You all know this, that inheritance is the biggest reason why families break. Inheritance. Money, possession, gets in the middle of people. It divides families. Brothers and sisters that used to love one another, when it has to do with money, they start hating each other. What about divorce? We all have heard this. I'm not bringing nothing new. The second biggest reason for divorce rate in the world is what? Money, finances. God knew that money could get in the way of our relationship, so He addresses. The third reason why is that we use our money, and how we use our money determines our commitments. How, where we invest your money really determines your commitment. And when it comes to life, God must be part of that commitment. God must be part of the investment. God must be part of your finance life, and if He's not, it determines your kind of commitment you have to Christ and the church. Listen, few things in the world have deeper hold on us than money and possession. Few things provide a deeper sense of security and a deeper sense of fulfillment. The more we have it, the safer and the more important you feel. Isn't that how it goes? Right? The more you have it, you feel like, man, I got it. My life is great. Because it is true. It comes to, as no surprise, that the way we relate to our money tells an awful lot about our spiritual walk. One reason money can have such a grip on us is that it provides a convenient measure of value. We tend to believe that our significance is directly related to our wealth. When we do not have money and we do not have nice possessions, we are prone to feel unloved and unimportant. If you don't have money, we often call ourselves not blessed. A couple of weeks ago, I shared the story of my aunt who makes $300 a month and she called herself blessed. But the gospel does not allow us to measure our worth or the depth of God's love by how much we have, but the money that we have in our checking account. The gospel assures us that we are equally valuable. valued, and their worth does not come from money. Their worth comes from knowing Jesus, for developing a relationship with Him, from knowing others, and have the support community that loves us and cares for us. That's where our worth comes from. Our value is found in our relationship with Jesus, not in the number of possessions, in the size of the banking account you have. The theme for you today is this: stewardship of our finances calls us to live generously life. There's three verses. Sam, where you got that from? There's three passages that I think we need to study a little bit this morning. The first one is 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 19 tells us this, okay? As for those who in the present age are rich. Sam Rosa, man, I am no rich. I'm not a rich person. I'm going from paycheck to paycheck. Amen to that. So am I, right? We are all on that, okay? We are no different from one another here. But here's the thing. One of the things that we need to come to grasp to it is that, and the reason why I love living in America is that those who live in America, even the poorest person in America, it is blessed because they have resources that people around the world does not have, okay? Listen, you can, I need to tread here carefully, okay? But you can... You can think that you're not a blessed nation, but let me tell you what. Blessed is, I got to be careful. Blessed is living in Brazil, in the slums of Brazil, where you have nothing, okay? A poor people in America lives in a good complex with air conditioning and refrigerator, and you have resources for the government that helps you eat, and you have health care, and I know all of that. But let me tell you, you are blessed. Count your blessing. Pray for God to continue to bless this nation, because there is worth in being that. You're blessed, guys. And that's why I'm so thankful for your life and for America, is because I got to be blessed in the process. Because I know, coming from Brazil and living poorly, I know that you are blessed. So everybody in America is rich. So don't count you out of that, okay? I have an aunt who makes $300 a month. Okay, and she in Brazil, and she calls herself blessed. Like, so here's the thing. You are rich. This passage is for you. Compared to the rest of the world, we are all rich. Commend them. So Paul is telling Timothy, as for those who are in the present age are rich, commend them not to be haughty. Listen, you are rich. Don't go hogging thing. Don't hoard. Right? Isn't that what the word haughty means? I might be pronouncing it wrong. Haughty. I had it right. Okay. So if the wife says you had it right, I had it right. So, okay, it doesn't matter whatever you guys say out there. If my wife said it's right. Now I'm in trouble. So as for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or set their hopes on the certainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our, read it. Dang, man. That's what I'm talking about. Here's God, right? God blesses us. He gives us. And he say, like, listen, life is not about holding on to things, all right? You know, don't put your hopes on riches. Don't put your hopes on money. Don't put your hopes on possession. Put your hopes on God, who richly provides for you. It is all about God. He's the one doing the blessings in your life. You got what you got because God has blessed you with it, all right? So put your trust in God. That's what he's saying. God, who richly provides for us. He is the one you should be trusting, because he's the one who is blessing your life. And he's blessing for you what? For your enjoyment. How many times have you heard me talk about this? Christian life should not be a boring life. Christian life should not be about being bored and not enjoying anything, like these grumpy people walking around life. No, listen, God blesses us so that we would enjoy life, so that we would enjoy life. God blesses you for your enjoyment. We don't have a crude God. We have a blessed God, a God who loves to bless, a generous God, right? So he keeps on going. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Paul is telling Timothy, tell the church they are to use the resources that God has given them to bless other people, to do good works, to be generous, to share. Stop in holding on to it. Start sharing. That's what Paul is telling Timothy to tell us, the church. Because when we share, when we do good works, when we're generous, we invest in eternity. That's what the last part of that verse is about. He's telling us, when you share, when you have this generous heart, you start to impact eternity. You start to get hold of the life that really matters. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 says this, some give freely, yet grow all richer. That's not a typo. That's not a typo, okay? But that's not how we are taught, is it? The more you hold on to it, the more you get, right? But the Bible teaches us a different way. It says, some give freely, yet all grow richer. Others withhold what is due and only suffer want. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. I love that passage because God is once again challenging our thinking, challenging our society to say, the more you make, the more you hold on to it, the more you work you got, the more you have. God's like, give, and you become richer. Proverbs 22, verse 9 tells us this, those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do you believe that? Do you believe that being a generous person leads to a blessed life? For they share the bread with the poor? My dad came visit my family last year. He came, and one of the first things he got in the airport, he gave each of my kids $20. Right? This is a Brazilian thing. I love you. Here's $20. Here's the thing. He loves all the three of the kids, not me, because yeah, that was no $20 for Sam Rosa, all right? So that's for your grandparents out there. Stop being mean to your child and just loving your grandchild. You know, that's what they do. Grandparents come home and they love on the kids and we're just there. No money, no love, no nothing. It's mean. I'm joking. It's a joke, all right? So my dad gives them $20. I take him to Bakersfield. It's a restaurant that Laura and I likes to go on a date. So if you want to go on a date with Laura and I, take us to Bakersfield. We'll never reject that, okay? So Bakersfield, downtown Columbus, High Street. We went there, took my dad there. And we ate. And we came out of the restaurant. There was a homeless guy sitting on the corner holding a little thing. And we're walking by it. Sam Jr. gets $20 in. Give to the guy, to the homeless guy. I look at my dad, and I look at Jesus like, what you doing, boy? That's $20. You don't give the homeless people $20. Give it to me, I'll take it. See, here's the thing. I tell in a joke, Junior gave it. I look at my dad, and my dad looked at me, and my dad's like, man, he has a good heart, doesn't he, Sam? I was like, yeah, Dad. Of course, I taught him, right? And here's the thing. Junior has never got that lesson at home yet about being generous at that point. He did that all on his own, right? I know Laura and I tried to live a generous life, right? But that was not something you know, the talk. We all have the talk, different the talks, right? Generosity talk would not have taken in my house yet. And Junior were able to, out of his heart, out of his own desire, perception of life, to give that guy $20. You know why? You know why a child of 10 years old was able to give it away 20 bucks? Because we were created by God to be generous. We were created by God to be generous. We are tempted by the enemy to hoard things. Here's the thing, like God created us in a way that says, listen, I will bless you so that you bless others, Genesis chapter 12, right? But God created us with this idea, with this willingness to give. And we ought to give to two individuals in our lives, give it to God and give it to others. And my son, out of his own experience, without a prompting, he was able to release that which he had. Because God, in his sovereignty, created us all to be givers, not to be takers. This design is part of our makeup. We actually have the need to be generous. Yet there are two voices that wars in our head that keeps us, that attacks this impulse towards generosity, tempting us to hoard. The first one is fear. We have this voice of fear in our mind that says if you give, you're not going to have enough. We have this fear of what might happen to us along with a misplaced idea about our source of security and that leads us from being generous and helps us embrace this mentality of hoarding things. Hoarding offers us no real security in this world. The second mentality, the second thought, the voices that comes to us is the voice of self-gratification and instant gratification. Our culture tells us that our lives consist in the abundance of our possession and pleasure and experiences. So we find ourselves thinking, if I give, there won't be enough for me and my family. Those of us who live in a developed world enjoy unprecedented wealth and comfort. But it's never enough. Have you ever noticed that? It's never enough. We are addicted to that, believing that we can borrow money anytime we need to purchase something else. We are actually addicted to self and instant gratification. To see a brand new gadget online, to click and buy it and to have it at your door and the next day, it is very appealing. Isn't it? It is very appealing. I was just telling a story yesterday. I was putting a TV up in the boys' room when we moved to the place, and I need a new TV bracket. I went to Amazon Prime now. 2 hours later, the guy was knocking on my door with the thing. Very appealing. Self-gratification and instant gratification. Don't we live in a world of that? It's all about me and how fast that I can get. Do you know that the misuse of money, this idea of self-gratification and instant gratification, it is the main reason why pornography, it is the biggest industry in America? The misuse of money for self-gratification and instant gratification. But it's the same attitude that supports pornography, and it's the same attitude that supports McDonald's, right? Isn't that how it is? I'm hungry. I don't have the time. I'm just going to stop at McDonald's and get a number one. I'm all for a number one. But it's all this idea of self-gratification and instant gratification. It's right here, right now, and it's just what I needed. Behind this mindset is a kind of mentality, the kind of materialism that teaches us that the only things that really matters are the things that we can own and possess on earth right here and right now. It is all about me and how much that I can get, how fast that I can get it. This mindset can cause us to tragically misuse our money, our possessions, and we need to defeat those voices. And I believe that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and invite Him into your as the Lord of your life, of your heart, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in inside of you, He begins the work of transformation in your heart, and He changes you from the inside out. And we find out that, and we find that our fears begin to disappear and our purpose in life shifts from self-gratification and instant gratification into the pursuit of loving God, loving others. It just shifts to live a generous life, one that doesn't benefit you but benefit others, is a fruit of spiritual growth. It's the fruit of God's work in our lives. Stewardship is not defined by hoarding, but by giving. Can I say that again? Stewardship is not defined by hoarding, but is defined by giving. We will always wrestle with these problems, with this idea of hoarding. But God, through the Holy Spirit, can change that in our lives. And the Bible gives us three reasons to give to God and to give to others. Here, three very important passages that I think you need to have. Or you need to write it down there, because when you're struggling, you need to write this, you need to read these verses. Acts chapter 20, verses 35 tells us that we find more joy in doing things for other people and for God than we ever did in doing things for ourselves. Acts chapter 20, 35 says this: "In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Jesus himself is telling us, listen, it's better to give than to receive. We all know that in practical ways. Have you ever gone out with someone and they say like, "Oh, I'm going to pay for you"? How do you feel? You should feel blessed. But most of the time you feel like what? "Oh, I don't know. You don't have to do that for me." But the Bible needs to help us understand that, listen, it's better to receive than to give, right? Is that what he said? No. Oh, I tricked you there. Were you paying attention? No, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 says this: "In the very act of losing your life, will find it. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will save it." Those who are hoarding is going to lose it. Those who are giving away is going to find it. I don't know how it works, but God in his economy, that's how it is. If you give it away, he will somehow in his sovereignty give you more life. If you're hoarding, he'll take life away. Sad story. I shared the sermon before. I shared here again. In my first ministry, I was sitting in my office. I got a phone call from one of the ladies at the church, older lady, and she's like, "Pastor Sam, can you come to my house? I'm in a little bit of an emergency." I was like, "Yes." So I go there. I open the door. Try to open the front door. She's like, "Just walk in." I tried to open the first door. I couldn't get it open. I felt like, "Oh," she fell behind the door. She's probably, you know, so I'm pushing, yelling her name. And she's like, "I'm downstairs." I was like, "Oh, she's not here." So as I get into the house, packages everywhere. Boxes pile up to the ceilings. Laura is a testimony of that. Couldn't walk in there. I was like, "Where are you?" She's like, "I'm downstairs." So I'm dodging, you know, boxes and all that. She was a nurse and she was retired and she had a lot of income at her disposal. And instead of giving it away and blessing people, you know what she was doing with it? She was buying, she was watching TV and infomercials and buying everything that she could. You know what she said? It's like, "I can't take my money away with me, so I buy stuff." And I'm like, wow. You have all these things. Holding on to it and has lost the opportunity to impact people's lives for the future, for eternity. Leviticus chapter 25, 23 says, tells us, "The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me." God is saying, listen, life is not what about is right here, right now. You're just sojourners. You're a stranger here. You're an immigrant in this land. There's something better in the future. And your investment in the kingdom of God right now, it is not for the present, it is for the future. The Bible gives us some guidelines for giving. From the early days of the Old Testament, God's people observed the practice of giving some portion of the best of what they had to God. A gift offered to God was called first fruits or tithe. and equated with 1/10 of the flocks or the crops or the income that the people in the Old Testament had it. Abraham was the first to give a tenth of his income. Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, Genesis chapter 14, 20 tells us. Oh, Sam, that's so old-fashioned, man, tithing, and I know exactly what this is all about, buddy. And let me tell you, listen, I want you to pay attention to one point I'm going to make about this, and one point only. Do you know that tithing does not pertain for you only, but pertain to God too? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that God also tithed his first fruit? God tithed his first fruit, and let me bring you in. He had a name. What is his name? Jesus. God has many kids, but his first and the best, he gave it for you so that you would have eternal life. God gave 10%, his first. As Christians who live under the new covenant, the law of Moses does not bind us. We look to it as a guidance. Yet most Christians agree that tithe is a good guideline for our lives and that it's pleasing to God. Though tithing can be a struggle, it is possible in virtually every income. If you cannot tithe right now, that is fine. But start on that path, and God will guide the way in order that you can live richer life by giving. God understands where you are. God will help you make the adjustment necessary for you to become more and more generous. Laura and I could not always tithe. I remember my first ministry. This is how God faithful is. I remember my first ministry. I was hired at a little church with 15 people. I made $175 a week with two kids already because we start things early. Oh, not that early. Well, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I remember looking at each other like, we need to tithe. How are we going to do that? And then we start with a little bit. And today, God has prospered me tremendously. I'm at Delaware Christian Church with other 400 people around me. And today, I am able to tithe. Every second Friday of the month, every other week, I got my paycheck, and the first thing that I do is that I go to my phone, and I get the church app, and I go to the giving part, and I give the amount, 10% and more, to the church. I'm not telling you this because I'm a good guy or whatever. I'm telling you this because I know the journey of starting to tithe and going from blessings to blessings to blessings to see God's transformation in your own personal life and how he prospers us through the whole process. Because our giving affect God and affect ourselves. And through our giving, we find God's blessing. I have one last verse to read to you. It's Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says this. Bring, the worship team can come forward. Bring the food tithe into the warehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Let me break this down for you. He says, bring the food tithe into the storehouse of God, that they may be food. See, here's the thing we don't understand about this. When God is telling their food, he's saying, some people are missing some things in their lives, and they need they need, they have a need. And the only place that they can find their need is in God's church, is at the church. It is in God's house. I go back to the lady who got punched in the face and come here and I see her bruises in her arms, in her face, and she needed much more than just food. She needs someone to encourage her. She needs someone to hug her. She needs someone to pray for her, to tell her of her worth. He's not talking about food. He's talking about meeting God, people's need. God's saying, by what you give, the church is allowed to be the light to the world. And thereby, put me to test. God is the only place that God says, put me to test. Listen, and the word test, there's to gain more knowledge. Do you want to go deeper in understanding me? Give. And I will surprise you with something that you have never seen before. That when you give, you get more. I don't know how that works, but God is saying, test me. You want more knowledge of me? Give it, and I will surprise you. Says, test me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you to pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So many times we read this about us. So many people in the church read this about me. It's not about me. It is about the people in our community who is hungry, in need of food. And God say, give it so that I will supply the food for everybody that you know in your community. This is not about you and I. This is about the people out there who are getting punched in the face, who's getting cheated on, who has nothing to eat, and is dying and going to spend eternity with Jesus, without Jesus Christ. This is not about me. It's not about you. Only it is about those who needs to hear about the food that God can give. It's about that wife who for years has been praying for her husband to come to know Jesus. And because of your generosity, he was able to hear. I like the next part. I rebuke the devourer for you. If God is the one who blesses, somebody else is the one stealing the blessings away from your life. That's God saying, I bless. That's the business that God is. He's the business of giving life and to blessing people. But there is something, somebody taking something away from you. And I believe that sometimes with this idea of hoarding, we are not worshiping Jesus. We are worshiping something else, somebody else. Therefore, we are allowing that one thing to steal God's blessing away from us. God says, if you test me, if you give, I will rebuke that thing that is taking the blessings from your life so that you will not be destroyed, that he will not destroy the fruits of your soil. I'll bless you. Whatever you put your hands in is going to prosper because I'm going to bless you. And the nations are going to call you blessed. This is not about me, guys. Not about only you. It's about us, God, and those in our community. So as you give to Delaware Christian Church, you're not making me richer. You're not making me have more status. We are partnering together in reaching this community for Jesus, and that's all I want. That's all I care. I don't know how to be more open and transparent with you to say. I don't know if I can, if it, making God put in the hand in the Bible is appropriate or not. Let me tell you this. It is not. It is not about us growing and becoming a bigger church or a big church with 1,000 people. No, this is about bringing food for those in our community who does not have Jesus in their lives because he's the only one that they need. So it's my prayer that you take this message to heart and start to think about a blessed life and how to live that with us together. Let me pray. Jesus.